Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Let's do it. It is time for a new episode of the Sixth Man Podcast, and we are still doing episodes during the 2021-2022 season, thankfully. Well, we'll keep going regardless, but the Raptors staving off elimination once again last night against the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 5. There will be a Game 6 Thursday night in Toronto. The game last night, man, the Raptors were in control all the way through. However, I didn't count my chickens or my Raptors before they hatched, I guess you could say, in Jurassic Park terms, because it was a bit reminiscent of Game 3, right, where we led the entire way. The only point that the 76ers led was right at the end of the game when it mattered most. So everybody played well, was a little worried about it because Fred VanVleet, if you haven't heard, well, he was out for that game, but apparently he's going to be out for the rest of the series. Yeah, not good when your all-star is not playing. Fred hopefully will get better very, very soon. Guy's a warrior. We'll see. It will not shock me if he's back playing even limited minutes at the next game or the game after that. Hopefully that we have more games to play. So, as where the 76ers went up 3-0 to start things off. First two games were a shellacking. Game 3, better, went to overtime, but we couldn't pull it out. Now there has been 2 straight wins by the Raptors. Joel Embiid apparently told Drake that he was going for the sweep after game number 3 in Toronto. Sorry, Joel. I'm just torn up about it. So torn up about it. The Raptors are gamers. A lot of analysts, though, are already saying, yeah, it's a lock. Raptors are going to win back in Toronto on Thursday. Nothing's a lock, all right? We got to take one game at a time. That's what we've been doing. But I really like the lineup out there. Really played into that length, disruption. Everybody seemed to be on. We were making shots. We were holding our own. And that was very, very important. I have also been very shocked at James Harden for the Philadelphia 76ers. Do I want to poke the bear and wake him up? No. So, James, if you're listening, just go get a snack or something. Or go brush your beard. go brush your beard. Well, and come back in a minute. But James Harden, not playing the James Harden of old, that's for sure. And I actually got into a bit of a debate about James Harden on our Twitter account. You can follow us at the Sixth Man Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, but this was on Twitter specifically, where after game number 4, I said, in all honesty, I think the 76ers at this point are getting fleeced in this trade for James Harden. Now, I know that Ben Simmons has a ton of baggage. I don't know what's going on there, but until the guy plays and you see him with KD and Kyrie Irving, I don't know when that's going to be. That is just a whole other drama show over there. It maybe he clicks. Maybe it unlocks parts of his game. Maybe it takes pressure off, whatever the case may be. But we still haven't seen Ben Simmons play with Kyrie and KD. So I can't. The jury's still out on that one. Then you get Drummond, who's a serviceable big man. You get Curry, who I realize isn't Steph Curry, but Seth Curry's pretty good. He's one of the better 3-and-D guys in the league this year. And they have those 2 first-round picks. Now, you could say those are as useful as a stick of gum when they belong to the Brooklyn Nets. I would argue even Tyrese Maxey was picked 21st overall, so let's not automatically assume you can't get great players with later first-round picks. But if James Harden doesn't wake up, which I hope he doesn't, then they are getting fleeced. But let's put it this way. James Harden had 15 points last night in game number 5. Precious Achiuwa had 17 points. Yes, Precious Achiuwa and his $2.16 million he's making this year beat James Harden and his $44 million that he's making this year. The guy, there's like that factor in past years when James Harden has the ball, you're like, oh boy. And right now, I say that when Joel Embiid has the ball, oh boy, here we go, Joel Embiid. And Tyrese Maxey to a certain degree, even though the last 2 games he's kind of tapered off, he's had such a hot start in game 1 and 2, but when he has the ball, he's so fast. And when he has the ball, it's been like, oh boy. Now when James Harden has the ball, I'm sorry, no disrespect. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's kind of like watching a irrelevant final year or two of his career CJ Miles out there. I mean, it's just a left-handed shooter you got to watch out for at the 3-point line. Not impressed. Not impressed by James Harden whatsoever. $44 million he's getting paid. That's elite game changer money, people. He should be right on the forefront, especially picking up the slack with Joel Embiid, who clearly is favoring that injured thumb on his right hand. And you could see that very, very easily in his defense all night long last night. He was standing so straight, and anytime anybody got by him, he was very apprehensive to raise his right hand to try and block shots. It makes a difference, man. It makes a difference. Now, I love the analysts and watching highlights and stuff like that, where obviously you're getting it from a Philadelphia perspective. They have their own announcers and the feeds that, you know, for the highlights that I was watching that were Philadelphia-based from those television stations. It's like, ever since he injured that thumb, he hasn't been playing very well, you know. Well, we've got Fred VanVleet out. He's our all-star, by the way. Thaddeus Young is banged up with thumb. Scotty Barnes playing on one ankle. Everybody's a little banged up, so let's not give them too much credit here. We're not free and clear by any means. He has a banged up thumb. We have an all-star completely missing from the game last night. But it was a great game nonetheless for the Raptors. Really kept it in control, didn't let up, and it was awesome to see. I mean, at the end of the day, simply awesome to see, because every time there was like a clutch moment where they needed a play or they needed to make sure that they scored a basket, for the most part, they did it. And that was probably my single biggest fear was, all right, here's the lead. It never seemed to get below like 8 or 9. They got it down to like 5 or so once, but get it back to 8 or 9. Then they'd go up to like 13, 14, back down to 8 or 9. But they'd always get a bucket after that, which was super clutch, and were able to pull it out. Pascal Siakam leading the way. 44 minutes played last night for Pascal. Got 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. A reminder, no Raptor player has ever gotten a triple-double in the playoffs before. Scotty Barnes came very close to doing it game number one before he got hurt. He only needed 2 more assists. Pascal, 3 assists away there from a triple-double. OG Anunoby, I wouldn't say his shot was on a lot last night, but he did make some clutch baskets. There were a couple of open. There was one play in particular in the second half where he got 2 clean looks at three-point land and missed them both, and we really needed to hit that. Ken Birch, 7 points, only 1 rebound. He was really out there as a body to match up to, of course, Joel Embiid. Scotty Barnes, 12 points, 4 assists, 8 rebounds. And Gary Trent Jr. with 16 points. Precious, like I said, 17 and 7. Raptors rolling. Got to keep it going, though, on Thursday night when they take on the Sixers in game number 6, trying to push it to game number 7 back in Philly. And imagine if they'd won that game 3. Imagine, right? We'd be tied, we'd pretty much be tied up now heading into game 6 with a chance to really take a lead. So I like what I'm seeing out of the Raptors. Got to keep it going. And I don't know what side of the coin you fall on. Is the pressure more so in this instance? I don't know. Like, obviously, the Raptors, if they lose, they're out, but they're playing at home, like, really expected to win this game. And if they lose, they're out. Where's the main pressure lie? I know that may sound redundant, but when you think about it, Philadelphia is kind of a little back on their heels right now. Who needs it more? They do. I mean, the Raptors, they're doing well, but we got to see what kind of energy they bring and if the crowd will help or hinder them. Because sometimes you're so, you know, in your head that you don't want to let your fans down that you don't play as clearly. Sometimes playing on the road can be easier because, you know, it's just all business and focus in on all the little things you got to do. Playing at home is like, well, we're at home. We got to win at home. So we'll see what team shows up. I love what they're doing right now. And hopefully got to just keep rolling and push Philadelphia to game number 7 and see who we can play next round. We'll see. I don't know. Shout out to the Boston Celtics sweeping the Brooklyn Nets in 4 straight games. And I want to give a special shout out to a couple people. Number one, before I end the show, number one, special shout out to Goran Dragic, who said before he joined the Raptors that he had higher aspirations and wanted to do bigger things, played very few games for us, held out, then got traded, then got released, and then signed with the Brooklyn Nets because the man wanted to win a championship. He wanted to play for a championship. Well, how'd that work out for you, Goran? How'd that work out? 4 straight game sweep. He played a bit, but the Raptors are playing longer in the playoffs than he is, no matter how you cut it. And last but not least, special shout out going to our rookie of the year, Scotty Barnes, locking it down. The smallest margin of victory in voting history for the rookie of the year, but man, did he earn it. A great, great accomplishment. And I loved the way that they told him with Vince Carter doing a video for him at practice. It was such a touching moment. The team all just giving him hugs. And, you know, you watch the video, if you've seen it, you watch it and go, this guy's got a bum ankle. We need him. Don't crowd around him like everybody's jumping on him and stuff. Come on now. But big shout out to Scotty Barnes for the Rookie of the Year. That's going to end it for us right now. We're going to play the video of Vince awarding our Rookie of the Year his hardware. And we'll see you after game 6 with hopefully another Raptors victory going down Thursday night. I'll be back and be talking about it on Friday. So make sure to tune in wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram and Twitter, the Six Man Pod. Here we go.
Yo, Scotty. Scotty Barnes, what's up, man? It's Vince Carter here. Hey, I know you're busy and locked in for the game. I get it. But I just want to say I truly enjoyed watching you play this year. It takes me back to when I was a rookie and I was able to win the 1998 Rookie of the Year Award Trophy.
Oh.
Great memories, man. Great memories. I want to give you some quick Raptors history if I could, since we're on the subject. Did you know it's only been 3 Raptors players in franchise history to win this award? David Stoudemire, me, and a 6'7" rookie from West Palm Beach, Florida, my fellow Florida boy, Scotty Barnes. Yeah, man, congratulations, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you continue to achieve success in the NBA. You're up next, bro. You're up next.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.